Sadly, too sadly, we live in a world where far too many do not deserve the privilege of parenthood. Fathers who have never been dads, mothers who have never been moms or mamas. Some neglect their gift. Others actively abuse theirs. And it is a daily occurrence. And because of the multiple news sources we have, we now know far more about it than we did for years. In my young adult class, however, we are studying the meaning of discipleship. And in this book, as we've worked through different images of the disciple, as we've worked through different phrases that describe our relationship with God, one of those, and the one that we have just finished this morning, is the phrase, child of God. And last week, as we were getting into it, I got so excited discussing it that I could hardly sit still and teach at the same time. And so I want to share it with you. I want to share some of the things we've studied, and I want to expand upon it to combat what takes place in our world and to give us an understanding that we have a Father who's different and that we have a Father that we can share with the world so that they too can have that relationship. Let's start with this amazing fact. Christians are children of God three times over. In three different ways, we have the privilege of calling God our Father. The first is the same relationship that all mankind enjoys. We are children of God by creation. In Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 28, as Paul stands on Mars Hill, he even quotes the local poets and uses it as a description with divine meaning. He made from one every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times, the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God. Perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. In Him we live and move and exist. Even as some of your poets have said, we are also His offspring. And so that's a relationship that anyone in the world can enjoy. God created us in His image. Second, and this one is unique to us, we are children through rebirth. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, when Nicodemus comes with his questions for Jesus, one of the things that Jesus says to him is that we have to be born again. There has to be a second birth. A rebirth through baptism. And the third, and this is the one that I love, and it's also unique to us, is we are adopted children of God. We're God's by the fact that He created us. We are God's by the fact that we are reborn. We are God's by the fact that He adopted us. Romans chapter 8. Verse 15, and we'll reference this a couple of different times this morning. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption, as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears spirit with our spirit. We are children of God. If children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. So I said, we'll come back to that one, so you might want to mark it. Galatians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. All right, the first of those is nice. It's natural. It's what should be natural in our world. You give birth to a child, and that child has meaning. That child has a relationship. That child is special. We live in a broken world. It doesn't always happen that way, but that's the way it's supposed to be. Well, with God, it does. And it's really nice. The second relationship is nicer. Rebirth. Born into the family of God. Remade into the image of God. The image of God that we received by creation is now being perfected in Christ Jesus. I become more and more like my God. Third, and I told you this was the one that was special. Told you this is the one where I was leaning this morning is the nicest. Because you see, adoption involves choosing to accept. Adoption includes taking on someone else to love, to care for, to add to the family, to make an heir, to make a child. You see, the thing was, we were not worthy. The thing was, we were not pretty. There was nothing special about us. In fact, we were broken. Romans 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous. Not even one. And down to verse 23, what? We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nothing that mankind had done to make God notice us, to give us value, to make us acceptable. Ephesians 2 and verse 12, not only that, we were outsiders. As Gentiles, we were outside of the commonwealth of Israel. As sinners, we were on the outside looking in. We were scarred. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we were dirty, ragged, dead. Romans 6 and verse 23, wages of sin is death. And yet God chose me in Christ. God sent His Son for the purpose of allowing me to accept the adoption, to sign the adoption paper. He chose you. He looked at a broken and a scarred world. He looked at people who might have even been unloved by the world, by parents who should have loved and cared but did not. And God chose us. Adoption includes the image of rescue from abandonment. The world can abandon us. The world can throw us out. The world can neglect us. The world can actively abuse us. And God still says, I'm going to adopt that one through my son. Adoption is redemption from sin. Back to Romans 3, verse 10. Back to Romans 3 and verse 23. God paid the adoption fee. You know, you go to the pound to adopt a puppy, you pay the fee. You go to the adoption agency to try to adopt a child, and you pay the fee. And it's steep. And yet God paid a much greater fee. God paid the ultimate fee. God paid the price, John chapter 19 that we're reading, of the life of His Son. Which one do you want me to release to you? It's not Jesus Christ. We want Him crucified. This man on the left, this Vietnam veteran, a man by the name of Albert Brigus. Albert is a good employee. Albert's hardworking. Albert's reliable. Albert's been known to show up when he was too sick to work. He has shown himself to be a person of skill, a person of determination, but he's 69 years old. And so this Vietnam vet was looking forward to retirement. He had it planned. He was going to work until he could pay off his mortgage. Then he would retire. Then he would hang up his mechanical tools. And he'd got to the point that was a year away. He was getting really close. His boss, Rudy, knew about the plan. Now watch this. Rudy decided to do something special. He paid off Albert's mortgage so he could retire early, even though it was not his debt to pay. It cost Rudy $5,000 and a very valuable employee. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. God paid a debt He didn't have to pay, and it cost Him His Son so that He could adopt me. We were enslaved. Romans 6, 17 and 18. We had chains of sin that bound us to hell, that bound us to Satan. And the blood of Jesus cut the chains. We were carrying a debt that we could not pay, Matthew 18, 23 through 34. And we had earned and deserved every bit of it. My debt comes from Romans 6 and verse 23. The wages of sin is death. That's mine. I earned it. I was supposed to have to pay it. But He graciously paid it all. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He sent Him to earth to live and die to save me, so He could adopt me. So He could adopt me. What does that mean? I said the verse was John chapter 1 and verse 12. It means that I have the right to call myself a child of God. You know, we talked not long ago the fact that when we become Christians, we give up our rights. This is one that we actually gain. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name. I don't have a lot of rights in Christ. I have a lot of freedoms, but I also have the fact that I am a servant, and I have sacrificed my rights to Him. I have this right. I can proudly proclaim to the world, I am an adopted child of God, and that cannot be taken away from me. So what does that mean? Number one, it means Luke 11, verses 1 and 2, that I can call God my Father. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven. It's the word pater. It's kind of a formal word. It's kind of the word father. It signifies nourisher. It signifies protector. It signifies upholder. It's not a universal relationship. John 8, looking at the Jews in verse 42 and in verse 44, Jesus said, he's not your father. Your father's the father of lies. You don't know my father the way I do. Then, and man, this makes me so excited. This is part of the reason I was so excited last week in Bible class. Mark chapter 16, verse 36. Jesus addresses God by a different word. The word Abba. It's an older word than pater. It's an Aramaic word. And it's what a child called a male parent. And I want you to listen to a man by the name of Gerard Kittle. And he may be, at the time that he was writing, the most renowned linguist in the religious world. His theological dictionary of the Greek language is that wide in volumes. Jesus' use of Abba, this is what he says, applies to God a term which must have sounded familiar and even disrespectful to his contemporaries because it was used in the everyday life of the family. In other words, Jesus uses the simple speech of a child to its father. Abba is what a child called his father. It's very similar to the word daddy. Now watch this. We've already read it, but I want you to go back there. We have that right. We have been given permission to cry out to God in that way. We were in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear. You have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. And then Galatians 4 and verse 6. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now then, I want to go back to what Kittle was saying. He goes on to write, there can be no doubt that the use of the word in the community, in reference to the church, is linked with Jesus' term for God. And so the first century church is using the term Abba. Why? Because Jesus did. And it denotes an appropriation of the relationship proclaimed by Jesus and lived out by Him. Jewish usage shows how this father-child relationship to God surpasses, far surpasses, any possibility of intimacy assumed in Judaism. Jesus is introducing something which is wholly new. Remember, the veil gets torn in two. Remember, the high priesthood is done away with except for Christ Jesus, and we go through Him. All of a sudden, we have a brand new relationship with God as adopted children. He's not just Father. He's Dad. Now then, listen to me. I say that with no disrespect intended. But it's absolutely one of the most beautiful things in all of Scripture to me. And yes, it's familiarity. But there's no disrespect in familiarity. I called my father daddy. And there's never been a man who walked the face of this earth for whom I had more respect. And so it's not disrespectful. And with familiarity comes a relationship. Now then, is he Father in that there is holy is thy name? Absolutely. But I've been given permission to call him Abba. What a thought. What a privilege. I want to show you something else. This is the symbol of adoption. All right, this is, you know, just like the ribbons that we use for certain diseases and certain symbols. This is their symbol. And it has three sides. One represents the adoptive family. One represents the birth family. One represents the adoptee. And the heart of love holds them all together. Now then, I'm just going to make this Christian. Watch this. What if we take that same symbol and one side of it is the Father, one side of it is the Son, one side of it is the Holy Spirit, and then right square in the middle as that adoptive child is me, is you. See, here's how this works. The Father adopts us, but the Son makes it possible at Calvary. And then we're told that the Holy Spirit seals us and confirms us as children. Oh, I love it. It's so beautiful. What an image. Child of God by adoption. What else does it mean? I'll do this part of it quickly. Number two, it means that it means that we have value. God's not going to adopt something that doesn't have value. I have an inherent value in that I'm made in His image. And I have an imputed value because I've been remade in the image of His Son. And listen to me. In a sense, it does not matter what your parents think or thought, what your peers think about you, what the world thinks about you. God's view is what counts. And God said, I want that one and that one and that one with all the scars and all the broken body parts and all the flaws. They're mine. That means I have value. God saw it in me and then He imputed it through Christ, credited it to my account through Christ Jesus for me. That means I can alter the view of myself. I don't have to base my view of myself of what the world thinks of me or the world's standards, where I'm pretty or I make enough money or I live in the right place or I have the right things. I can see myself as a child of God because He said, that one's mine. It means there are blessings beyond that. That include a new name. You know, our names are important. Mom and Dad sometimes think about it for months before they decide what they're going to name us. God said, I got a name for you. I'm going to name you after my one and only. You're going to be called Christian. Wow. Named after the very Son of God. It's a lot more important than the name my mom and dad gave me. Even though I was named after a very special great uncle. New identity. When I become God's, I'm no longer Satan's. I'm no longer part of the world. I have a different identity. And it's in stark contrast with the children of the devil, the children of the dark. I get to stand out. I get to light up the world as Christ shines through me. It means I'm the object of God's love and attention. A true dad, a true mom pays attention to a child. God pays attention to me. God has an interest in me. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows my cares and my concerns. And His eyes are open to my struggles. And His ears are attentive to our prayers. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. It means I have the Father's provision. God cares for His own, and I'm His own. He's going to meet my needs. It means I have His protection. I have His guidance. I have an inheritance. Now then, before we close, the blessings come to responsibilities. I got to live up to the name. If I'm going to wear the name of Christ, I have to live up to it. I have to return God's love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I have to walk by faith. But here's the point. Let's close. God loved you. God so loved the world, absolutely. But I'm going to make it personal, because to love the whole world, He's got to love the individuals. God so loved you that He paid the price for your adoption with the blood of His Son. Satan's opinion of you does not matter. The world's opinion of you does not matter. You have value. God's opinion matters. You are important. You were bought with the greatest price ever, and you are His, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You have an inheritance this world cannot take away from you. Do not sell yourself short. Do not view yourself through the eyes of the world and the eyes of the world's standards. View yourself through the eyes of God. See yourself for who you are and live like a child of God. It's all right, and it's not arrogant, and it's not boastful, but it's all right for us to stand up and say, I am a child of God. And according to Him, I'm more important than John the Baptist. And he was the greatest man who was ever born of a woman. And if you don't like that world, I'm sorry. But all right, it's also all right to tell the world, I'm a child of God and so can you. He'll adopt you too. Revel in the fact. Enjoy the fact that you're a child of God by His choice. But it's also by your choice. If you hadn't obeyed the gospel, you get the first relationship that you're His by nature at creation. But He's telling you this morning, hey, I'll let you be reborn as my child and I'll adopt you because I want you and I love you. If you need that relationship, if you want that relationship, please come obey the gospel. And if you're already a child of God, embrace what that means. Enjoy the privileges, accept the responsibilities as we stand and sing.